Welcome into this Golf Channel podcast. I'm your host, Will Gray, joined by the final major champion of 2017, Anna Nordqvist. Anna, how does that sound?
It sounds pretty good. Still feels a little surreal to me, but it's starting to sink in that I actually won on Sunday.
What has been the last 48 hours like for you since you left the 18th hole draped in the Swedish flag with a trophy in your hand?
It's been very overwhelming. It was very cold that day, obviously, and there's quite a bit of media and photographs after, so staying out in the cold for another hour and a half wasn't the best. So still trying to warm up, but spend some time with my closest friend and my team on Sunday night. Meant a lot to me, and then flying back here to Orlando where I live all day yesterday. So pretty exhausted and just looking forward to being home now.
Do you remember the last time you saw a squeegee used on a green for any round, let alone a playoff for a major championship?
Well, I know we had some struggles in the weather at Evian over the years, and last year the final day was, course was soaked and we kind of played it underwater. But never seen anything like what was going on in the playoff and what happened there on Sunday.
How hard was that to kind of focus on your game and keep the elements at bay?
I feel like the hardest part was because I was done about an hour before the playoff, just trying to stay warm. I went to the putting green just to keep myself occupied in case there was going to be a playoff and in case I had a chance to win. I went inside because it was too cold and the range was a little bit of a drive away, so I had ruled that option out pretty quickly. Just try to put as many clothes on as I could and where it could still swing. And then showing up to that 18T in that first hole in the playoff, obviously started raining even more, and just trying to stay loose and trying to stay warm, but that was quite impossible. And then walking down the fairway there, we started to get some hail. My caddy thought that
that's always fun, right?
Yeah, my caddy actually thought that we're gonna call it, and I was having to tell him to get the front yardage because we were playing, and he's like, "Oh." So yeah, it was quite an overwhelming. I don't know how long it took out there, but it seemed a little bit forever.
Taking back to Thursday, what were your thoughts when the decision came down to scrub the play that had happened in the first round and cut it to 54 holes?
I was lucky I was in the afternoon, so I didn't have to be out there early, start playing and playing in those conditions, and then sitting out waiting what was going to happen in the lunchroom or wherever you can find space. So just staying in bed there helped me a lot. If I played under those conditions, I'd probably want the same thing to happen. So I felt like it was the best thing that could happen. And obviously you don't want to see a tournament go down to 54 holes. I'd probably benefit more from 72 holes, especially in tough conditions. But same for everyone. And fortunate over the years, having Evian Championship at that date, being in September, you know the weather is not going to be very good in Europe. It can be great, but most times it's not. So I feel like it's all about the attitude, but it is going to be the same for everyone. And maybe this is a little bit like a British Open.
There you go. So this is major number two for you. What is the biggest difference between you as a person, as a player, whatever, for 2009 versus 2017?
I mean, it's even hard for me to explain what a different person and what a different player I am now compared to 09. Just starting out, left school a little bit early, halfway through my junior year, and I got questioned whether that was the right decision or not, and didn't get my full card on the tour, and then ended up winning my first start as a pro, and it being a major. So it's very overwhelming because it obviously got me the playing rights, and a part of me, my dream came true that day, with a lot of it. But then now over the years, I feel like I have a bigger appreciation for the game, and I know it's very competitive out there, and I know it's tough to win tournaments, and I know it's even tougher to win major tournaments, but I'd say I'm much better golfer today than I was back then. And I feel like just being out on tour for so many years, you know, grinding it out and having bad tournaments and having moments where you just want to give up, make me appreciate this victory even more.
So you've got a major championship this year. You played well at the Solheim Cup, although the wrong team won, in your view. What was there a point this summer, given your health concerns, that you thought you weren't going to be able to tee it up at the Solheim Cup?
Well, I had a hard time accepting the fact that I, when I got the diagnosis, that I had mono. Obviously, I wasn't feeling the best during US Open. I was trying to fight it out and hoping it was just going to be a strep throat and it was going to be over in no time.
Yeah, I mean, how long did it take to get to that diagnosis? Was it...
Well, I felt really the week of US Open and got sick the Thursday before. Didn't really know what was going on. But when my throat started to hurt as bad as it did and I started coughing really bad, I knew something wasn't right. And then my test results came back Sunday before the final round that I had mono. So it was a little bit of a shock, but also not knowing really what was going to happen. I had a lot of people reach out to me and to tell me not to be stupid, pretty much, just to not mm-hmm. push it and not play too early. I love practicing, I love competing. So first thing that obviously popped up in my mind was Solheim Cup. There was just no way I was going to miss that tournament because grew up watching Annika and I worked really hard the last 2 years because I really wanted to be on that team and I wanted to be a key player for Europe. So in a way, I felt like Solheim Cup kept me going and I forced myself to rest. I had a lot of great people around me that was telling me to chill out, but it's not one of my strengths and patience is not either. So I felt like I had to tee it up at the British just to prove that I could tee it up at the Solheim Cup. It wasn't the easiest week, but I played really good, finished seventh. So obviously it's been some ups and downs, but been just trying to keep my head high.
So do you think that without a Solheim Cup on this year's calendar, or even without a Solheim Cup with Annika as the captain, you might not have ended up where you are right now as the Evian champion?
It's tough. I mean, I had to pull out of the Scottish Open the week before British and also pull out of the Canadian Open the week after Solheim. And, you know, I had a great week at Solheim and all I wanted to do was keep playing and hopefully carry over some of that momentum to my own tournaments. But pulling out there was a smart decision because it actually allowed me to get time to recover. Teed it up in Indianapolis and hit it really good but couldn't make a putt and ended up missing the cut. So it was tough and I didn't feel the most comfortable teeing it up in Evian, knowing I hadn't played many tournaments and I actually felt pretty rusty. And it's a new situation for me being in September mm-hmm. when you usually played a lot. But at the same time, I was very excited to play, so maybe that helped me a lot. But definitely the whole Solheim Cup experience, the British, if it wasn't for those, I don't know if I would have played so well at the Evian.
Getting another major championship, second of your career, does that take any of the sting out of the playoff loss last year at the U.S. Women's Open?
I mean, it's definitely sweet. Coming so close at the U.S. Open last year just felt like it proved to myself that I kind of belong and if I play well, I have a chance to win. I didn't get the trophy at the U.S. Open, but I was really proud of how I put myself in a situation to win the tournament, had a great final round, and maybe that even without thinking about it, made me get some confidence going into the final round of Sunday at the Evian, even though winning never really crossed my mind, teeing it up on Sunday. I guess if you just keep at it and, you know, never give up, there's always a chance, especially under pressure and during these tournaments. And I guess that's why they're so hard to win, because you just never know.
Let's take things off the course. You have a free day, 24 hours, you're not allowed to touch a golf club. What are you doing?
Well, I like to sleep in, but most of the times when I try, I really can't. I just like to be home. We go out so much when we're on the road. I love cooking, spending at home, hanging out with my boyfriend, talking to my friends and family back home, just being Anna. There's so much things focused on golf, but I just, you know, like to wake up not having a schedule or any time commitments, and I can just do whatever I feel like for the day.
What's your go-to meal? If I've got the Top Chef people are coming in and we're filming a show in your kitchen? What are you serving Colicchio?
Well, actually, the last couple days I've been craving an avocado toast. So that's what they
serve. Very millennial of you.
Yeah, that's what they served us here at Morning Drive this morning. So I was pretty excited, but I'm pretty low key, and I'll take pretty much anything that's homemade.
Do you go a lot of Swedish stuff? Do you do American? Is it a mix?
I feel like I keep it pretty simple. Love Mexican food, salads, wraps. I love cooking. I keep just pretty simple. It's less sugar, the better.
Yeah. Is it something where you just enjoy having it as a different focus or an interest in your life? Does it allow you to take your mind off of what's going on the LPGA schedule, things like that?
I feel like always traveling makes you appreciate a home-cooked meal and not having to go out as much as, you know, you have some good meals in great restaurants all over the world. There's just nothing beats, you know, being home. And also I have a lot of food allergies, so being able to cook kind of helps me know what I'm putting in my body. And you do feel better after you being home for a few weeks and cook your own food.
Mm-hmm. Travel-wise, what's one or two places that you would like to get to that you haven't been to in the world?
My dream is to go to the Maldives one day.
Wow, that is very specific.
Yeah, I keep looking at all these pictures of the tiki huts and all those bungalows on the water, and I would love to go there.
Were you focusing on a bungalow in the Maldives as you're freezing your butt off in the middle of the final fairway there?
It did not cross my mind, but it would sound pretty good right now.
Anywhere else that, because I mean, with the LPGA schedule being as it is, I mean, you guys are going to take off to Asia here in a couple of weeks. You get around, you see a ton of the world, but there's got to be a couple bucket list spots, right?
Yeah, you just don't really have time to see a lot of it. When you are at tournaments, you mostly see the hotel and the golf course and the airport. I heard New Zealand is very pretty and haven't been able to spend much time over there, but hopefully one day I'll make it over there at the Tourist.
What is one course you would like to see an LPGA event on that we haven't yet seen?
I obviously never played Augusta. It's my dream to play Augusta. I don't think we should have an event there, but that's just one of my bucket list things.
Right, so that's the Anna bucket list.
Yeah. But as far as the LPGA, I feel like with the KPMG Championship, we're getting to play a lot of great golf courses. And I'm excited for a few of the ones we have upcoming. Obviously, it would be cool to play somewhere like Cypress Point or Pebble Beach in California one day.
That's good. What else besides Augusta is on your personal bucket list for golf courses?
It's actually really the only one.
That's the only one.
That I have on my bucket list. It's going to make my day or make my career when I do get there one day.
Okay. We got to be able to get you there. Shouldn't two major championships should move you up the list, right?
Yeah, hopefully someone will be nice enough to invite me one day.
There you go. So you, like you said, you left college, but now you're living in Orlando. Many of us here in Golf Channel live in Orlando. What are the pluses and minuses for you of being in Orlando and living in the shadow of Disney World and all that fun stuff when you're here the few weeks out of the year that you are?
Yeah, I played a little bit less this year, so I got to spend a little bit more time at home here in Orlando. I still miss Phoenix and the atmosphere. That's in Arizona. That's where I went to school and where I still have a lot of friends. All my friends and family love coming to Orlando to visit, obviously, just because of Disney. But it just gets a little overwhelming with all the tourists, and I hate traffic and sitting, waiting. So I feel like that's not the greatest. It's hard to find like a true atmosphere here. I'm close to Europe. We play a lot of tournaments on the East Coast, so it makes it very convenient. I have my team here. So it's been a great location. I have great practice facilities, and it's been a good base for me.
Are you a believer in the dry heat versus the humidity of Florida? Is there any difference? I feel like I go out to the West Coast and it's still just as hot.
Well, I think it's something you get used to. I'm definitely more of a desert person, and I say I'm a West Coast girl, but people say I'm from Sweden, so I guess they're right. But Love the dry heat. You get used to the humidity, but it's pretty nasty in the summers.
Last one before I let you go. When you go back to Evian next year, are you going to borrow Henrik Stenson's car that he used to turn back in the claret jug at Birkdale, a sort of DeLorean, crazy futuristic car that he was rolling in?
I don't think that will happen, but it's going to be great coming back to Evian, and obviously I have great memories from this year and many other years that I've come there. It's just a great honor to be back in Europe playing, and it means a lot to me, but we'll see what I can negotiate with Henrik.
There you go. Well, it's been an up and down year for you, Anna Nordqvist, but you have a major championship trophy under your belt. Congratulations to you. Thank you again for joining us.
Thank you.
All right. This is Will Gray with the latest installment of the Golf Channel podcast with Anna Nordqvist. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.